Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Overstock.com, your online outlet store. Savings up to 80%. Log on today, Overstock.com.
1-800-449-8686.
We're talking about some new tax legislation being introduced by Congressman Bettis of California. Mr. Green, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you're involved in this.
Phil, I am CEO of Fraser Foods, which is a retail grocery outlet. We have five stores citywide, and I'm primarily, I act as manager also for our Buena Park market. And we've done around $10 million in business at our store last year.
All right. Now, you have a group of employees that like to buy lottery tickets, as employees do all over the country.
Yeah, we do.
Now, I don't know who the people are. One of them is Sherry Gleason.
Well, she's one of our checkers. Let me jump in, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
About 10 of my employees every week put in $5 each and buy 50 of these early bird lottery tickets here in the state of California. Last one of the tickets last week hit, and it was a very nice payoff of $50,000. And these people were excited, and I had to remind them that I get 20% of the prize money.
All right, now here's what I don't get. You didn't buy the ticket. You're not part of the group. Why do you get 20%?
Well, this is why I have to explain this to people. I am their employer. I hired each of them, and while they are, you know, fooling around or whatever, getting their money together for their lottery purchase, there's work in the store that isn't getting done. And this is why, Phil, I talked to Congressman Bettis about a federal tax initiative which would give employers an automatic 20% of any employee's lottery winnings.
Yeah, all employers would get an automatic 20% of any of their employees' lottery winnings because these people are buying and negotiating the purchase of these lottery tickets while they're on the job?
What a lot of the employees do is they get together with other employees, they exchange money, they designate who's going to buy the ticket, they give change for money, they discuss what number they want. Generally, in the case of our store, it's 10 employees, it could be 5, it could be 15 employees. And they talk about who's going to get what. And all of this is going on while there's work to be done in my store. Phil, if you can understand, all of us wear many hats. But I wear a lot of hats in our store, and I'm stocking a shelf, or I am watering produce. And I look over there, and I see my employees talking about who's going to buy the lottery ticket this week. And I noticed that I was getting a problem in my right elbow, which is called carpal tunnel syndrome.
I know it.
And it was caused because I was tensing as I was doing my work. My hand was balling up, excuse me, into a fist. And the reason why it was balling into a fist was just the thought of my employees doing this to me on my time. Now, all of the people that talk to you will tell you that the employer doesn't deserve a percentage of the winnings. But what I've just described to you, I think, Mr. Henry, absolutely makes the case that we do.
All right, one of the people, you say your employees are screwing around.
Well, I didn't use the word screwing around.
Well, you said they're fooling around. One of these employees, Miss Gleason, said she only goes on her lunch break.
Okay, the fact that Miss Gleason has a lunch break, Mr. Henry, is because of me. All I'm saying is that if people across America want to get these office fools going to buy lottery tickets, and in the process, you're wasting your employer's time while you talk about it and you give each other change.
Well, obviously it angers you if you've got a muscle, a tendon problem in your arm from balling up your fist.
When I see a group of my employees who should be working, should be on the job, and they're over there seeing who's going to buy the lottery ticket, yeah, my fist, almost subconsciously, and I don't even notice it, but my right hand balls into a fist.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods. He is, along with Congressman Bettis, proposing a legislation that would mean if you win the lottery, if you win a lottery ticket, if you win a scratch, whatever, right?
Anything over $5,000.
All right, so any kind of a lottery winning, state-sponsored?
Any state or federal-sponsored lottery, right. No, we're not asking you to give us the money from your church bingo or something like that. We're asking for what is rightfully ours while you're messing around at our time.
All right, well, we'll get back to whether people are messing around or not, but you're saying that you want employers are entitled to 20%.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And I think that, and by the sound of your voice, you think that that's too much? Or
No. How do you collect your 20%? This Miss Gleason has said that she only goes on her lunch break. And how do you collect your 20% of the $50,000, which, by the way, folks, is $10,000. The people in the pool wound up getting only $4,000.
Well, let me answer your first question. I have the addresses of all my employees for obvious reasons. I know when they win because I checked the paper. Last week, I simply said to Sherry, you know, where is it? Because it had been 2 days. And
What I heard was something a little bit stronger.
I'm sorry?
What I heard was you confronted her.
I walked over to her and said, let's have it.
You walked over to a woman who was checking people out, this Sherry Gleason, and confronted her with some strong language.
Mr. Henry, this is my store. And let me remind you, it was me who brought these people together by hiring them. It's my lunchroom where they discuss which store they are going to buy the ticket in. It's my time card they're abusing by daydreaming about what they're going to buy with their winnings. And when they hold out, and I read where they got the $50,000 early bird. That was the ticket that they won.
All right, that's an aspect of the California lottery, the early bird.
That is correct. Now I say to her, and I use some choice language, yeah. I said, you give me my 20%, is all I said.
Well, the choice language that you used, Mr. Green, from my understanding, is you used the word whore.
You know something, Mr. Henry, it had been 2 days.
Did you call the woman a whore in front of the employees?
Well, if I did, I don't remember, but I don't see it as totally inappropriate.
Why would you not see that as inappropriate?
Let me finish what I'm saying, sir, all right? Because you want to indict me before listening to what I'm saying.
Well, I'm hearing a man who says he's entitled to 20% of his people's money, and then you call this checker a whore because she held out on you.
She held out on me. That's $10,000 that she's trying to hold out on me. I'm the guy that hired her, is what I'm saying. I'm the guy that provided the lunchroom. I provide the day room. I provide the time card. I provide the job. I provide the people that she met so she could... I'll tell you what,
All right, 1-800-449-8686. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Green. John?
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, this guy's an idiot. If he doesn't think they're working hard enough for him, fire him.
I'm the boss.
I don't care if you're the boss.
I'm the boss.
I'm a boss.
We need to fire
idiot.
Them. Fire them for what?
Young people working for you.
I'm not going to put people. Maybe a guy like you puts people on the street.
Steal their money back. You're a grub.
Okay, John. One of the problems we're having, John, is that we can't hear you because you're on one of those remote phones.
Yeah.
Can you get to the headset, perhaps, or is that tough for you?
Yeah, is that better?
Yeah, that's way better. Okay.
Okay. This guy's a grub.
Let me respond to this.
You're the grub.
Let me respond to this guy.
Working in there at minimum wage, and I provide him a lunchroom. I provide him. That's only human decency. You run a store, you run a business, you provide them with a washroom, you provide them with a lunchroom, and you give them a coffee break.
You better believe
we're
it,
we're in America, buddy.
And they're standing
they're
around.
Russia,
and they're standing
and they
around.
And they finally make a buck, and you want to steal it on them, you're a grub.
Hey, a hooker holds out on her pimp.
Oh,
she wants that like a whore. She gets
grub.
She gets called a whore.
You should have a heart attack and die, you grub.
You know, I don't know what he means by grub. Is that some Canadian term, pal? Because I don't know what that is.
All right, 1-800-449.
Well, what do you do, hang up? I can tell you this. I didn't come on your program to be abused, Mr. Henry.
I didn't bring you on the show to be abused, Mr. Green, and I apologize for that. But calling a woman a whore...
Well, hold on for a minute. This woman was holding out ten... That's one king grand, is what we say in the business. Back when I used to... And I'm not proud of my past, but we had a rolling crap game that I operated out of the back of our store. And we used to call it King Grand. You know what a King Grand is?
$10,000.
That's right. That's one King Grand that this woman's holding out on me. Now, that's what a whore does to a pimp. If she wants to act like a whore, then I call her a whore.
Mr. Green, I want to tell you something. As a man who runs a retail business that deals with the public, sir, you're not talking like one. You're sounding...
I'm telling you... What happens to employees who steal from employers? That's all.
But technically, they're not stealing, and you don't have a law yet. You're proposing the law, but you don't have it yet.
Technically, legally, no, they're not. But I'll tell you what, right now, I'm keeping an eye on it. And I'll tell you what. Let me
ask you, what if they won 20 million or 10 million or 100 million in one of the lotteries? Are you going to actually think they're going to give you $20 million?
If they won, I'm sorry, Mr. Andy.
If they won 10 million, 20 million.
Well, if they won 10 million or 20 million, I would expect the 20%.
You really think they're going to give you 20%? I'd get on the first plane and I'd be out of there.
No, let me tell you, if you want to do that, if any employee of mine wins $100 million in the California lottery and wants to hold out on me, I can honestly tell you there isn't a country they can hide in. There isn't a river I wouldn't cross.
You'd go looking for them.
$20 million you wouldn't look for? Yes, sir, I would. Again, the principle here is they're using my turf. They use my turf. They're using my store. You use my store to make your business negotiation, you pay the man. And that is true with any business.
All right, Robert Greene is the CEO of Fraser Foods. His stand is basically this. If you work for an employer, and while you are working for that employer on his premises, you and your coworkers get together and buy a lottery ticket, and it hits, the employer gets 20% because you're using his time, you're using his office, you're talking to people that he put together who are employees of his. You all are doing this, making money, if you will, or maybe subcontracting on his time. He wants to propose national legislation that would make it a mandatory 20% of any employee's lottery winnings going to the employer. 1-800-449-8686. What do you think about that? And also this confrontation he had with a checker who was holding out 10% or 20% of her lottery winnings. He called her a whore. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Bill Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking with Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, who is introducing, through his congressman, legislation that would entitle employers, you got to listen to this, 20% of the lottery winnings of their employees. Why? Because most employees negotiate their lottery ticket purchases while they're on the job. Most employees buy lottery tickets in conjunction with other employees. Most employees use lunchrooms, day rooms. They use the premises of that business. And Mr. Green, you have just said to me, there isn't a mountain, there isn't a country they couldn't hide in, there isn't a river you wouldn't cross if someone won a $100 million lottery, an employee of yours, and they didn't give you 20% of that. You would resort to violence.
Well, hold on. I didn't say violence.
But that's what you're intimating.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't know a man yet that wouldn't be justifiably driven to violence if someone tried to take off with $20 million of his money. What our legislation will do is make it law so we don't have to go through this. Every employer of anyone hitting any lottery jackpot over $5,000, so that's not every single lottery, gets an automatic 20%. This is recorded by the IRS before you even get paid, so it's much neater that way, a lot less messy that way, and we don't have to get... And I don't have to walk up to employee and embarrass her the way I had to embarrass Sherry. And I'm sorry that I did that, but she brought it on herself.
She brought on being called a whore on herself.
You know, Mr. Henry, you want to keep saying that.
You did say it.
Well, you know, if the shoe fits.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sherry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I've been a local business owner for 10 years, and if my staff won the lottery, if they pulled together and absolutely hit the jackpot, I would be thrilled to death for them, and I wouldn't expect a dime out of it. Yes, I do provide their break room. Yes, I do provide their bathroom and all of that stuff, but they provide me with a very good living. And whenever I make extra money and we go above budget and above our goals, then I bonus my girls. But quite frankly, I was in corporate management for 17 years, and if this guy would walk up to one of my staff and call her a whore because he thought he was entitled to something that he's not, I think his mother needs to slap him for being stupid, number one, and slap him for using such horrible language, number two, and slap him for being so damn stupid.
Stupid.
This is just pure greed.
You bonus your girls even though they're getting tips?
I'm sorry?
I said you bonus your girls, even though you got, you, at any given time, you got 20 guys lined up around the bar putting dollar bills in their G-strings. So why are you bonusing them?
I don't know what you're referring to, but my staff does a very good job for me. They don't wear G-strings to work in, but I don't know
what kind of business. You said you had girls. I thought it was a strip club.
No,
she didn't say it was a strip club.
Well, what is it?
That's insulting. You have the brain of a
no. You know something? It's interesting because you're willing to take it in the shorts. You expect me to. That's what this comes down to.
Well, what it comes down to, sir, is you are very, very greedy. And, that's going to come back to you.
Greedy? Name me a business that is... all right.
That's not your money.
What do you have, an escort service? I don't know. What business do you have?
I have a pet grooming. I have a pet grooming service, a pet sitting service, and a pet store. I was in corporate management, sir, for 17 years. I was the CEO for Pillsbury before I opened my own business.
Sherry, you were making very good money. You were on your fast track. You got busted out of that, and now you're combing out dogs, and you're asking me?
You know why?
How to do my business?
The lady said she graduated to owning her own business. She's not working for anybody anymore. She works for herself.
I make over $400,000 a year, sir.
Yeah, okay. But you're on a corporate fast track, and now you're cleaning up you're wiping some dog's rear end.
And you know what? I make twice what you make.
How do you know how much I make?
I know. I made over $400,000 last year. What'd you make, buddy?
You know what? We had a bad year. You're right. We had a bad year.
Okay. So you know what? That's not your it's not your prerogative to take money out of your employees' pockets.
Ma'am, especially...
Maybe it's your attitude why you had such a bad year. Because you know what?
It's my fault.
I don't let anybody talk like that in front of my clients.
I'm in the grocery business. In order for you to have a bad year in the grocery business, your staff has got to be letting down. And yet I didn't fire one person. Now I ask for a little piece of something that I'm entitled to, and what do they give me? And you're telling me that somehow I'm greedy.
Well, I've never heard of anybody saying
that,
I've never heard anybody say they're entitled to 20% of lottery winnings because it happens, you know.
Okay, let me ask you and Sherry this. What if the people negotiated the sale of the lottery ticket in your home at your kitchen table?
I would be thrilled for them.
Oh, come.
Because you know what? It's not about the money.
I don't like lying. That's the one thing I don't like.
You know what? If you can't make your own money, then maybe you ought to change jobs.
Good point. Sherry, thank you. I got to move on, though.
You.
Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, I'd like to respond to that.
Go ahead.
I can make my own money. I don't need to change jobs. I'm the CEO of a major corporation, but I can tell you this much. I didn't get to where I am today giving money away, and I didn't get to where I am today giving away product. I got to where I am today being smart, being sharp, and noticing where there is a money-making possibility.
Well, you're talking about personal money now, aren't you?
No, the money yes, but it doesn't make any difference. The fact is, it goes to the employer.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, who's the CEO of Fraser Foods, talking to us, and he's talking to us about lottery winnings. He wants to introduce a bill in the United States Congress, and this would be a federal bill that would entitle employers to 20% of any lottery winnings their employees accrue. Why? Because the employee probably negotiated the ticket sale on the job, met the people that they bought the lottery ticket with on the job, used the lunchroom or the day room or the break room to negotiate the purchase of the ticket on the job, and basically wasting his time. 20% of every lottery ticket that you win out there would go to your employer. What do you think? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Survivor Compton.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
Do you think you should give 20% of any lottery winnings of yours to your employer if you happen to buy the ticket with a fellow employee, if you happen to talk about it in the lunchroom, talk about it in the day room, if you happen to use some of your work time to buy the ticket? Do you think your employer should get 20% of your earnings? Robert Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods, who's trying to introduce legislation in the Congress. All employers will get 20%. How do you reasonably say that, for instance, I could say to this to you, Mr. Green, do you share in the profits of your company? Because I had somebody call last hour. Do you share the profits of your company? When you make a lot of money with your employees, why should they share theirs with you?
Well, to answer your question, Mr. Henry, I guess you thought you were being, you know, pretty smart there, and I don't doubt that you're a smart guy, but yes, we do have profit sharing, to answer your question. Yes.
All right, I understand that.
Hold on. Yes, we do have profit sharing, and a lot of corporations have profit sharing. But when the time comes for the employee to share some of their profits, oh, all of a sudden they don't want to do that. And why don't they want to do that? Because, Phil, as hardworking as my people are, as hardworking as a lot of American workers are, they're still basically middle-class people who want to have enough money at the end of the week for a bottle, a gallon bottle of wine and some pasta and have a good time. They don't see the big picture. That's why I'm in management. I see the big picture. That's why I'm a CEO, because I see the broader landscape of economic opportunity. Most workers, though, all they want to do is make it to Friday night, and you've heard the story. They want a six-pack of malt liquor in the icebox, blah, 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 a lot of loud music, and the cops coming at 10:30, or however these people get off.
Well, I can tell you, sir, I work for somebody. That isn't necessarily my Friday night.
All right, well, then maybe you drink tequila instead of beer. I don't know.
But this is a stereotype that isn't fair. What you're saying is that because you have profit sharing at the corporate level, people should share their lottery winnings.
Absolutely. And that's a point that you can't possibly argue against, because we've had profit sharing in corporate America for a long time.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green is my guest. And let's go to another phone call here. This is Tina. Hi, Tina. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Green.
Robert, I think you're crazy. Did you have anything to do with buying those lottery tickets?
See the sound of her voice? That's what I'm talking about. Could you say that again, ma'am?
Don't talk about
her. Did you have anything to do with buying those lottery tickets?
Yes.
No.
Did you put money in to buy those lottery tickets? Yeah, I put in money because they wasted my valuable time while they were standing around smoking their cigarettes, drinking their coffee, and negotiating the purchase of the lottery tickets. So, yeah, it was my work time.
Wait a minute.
My time. They were on my time.
It is a federal law that you have to provide breaks and lunches. It wasn't your time that they were wasting.
Understood.
I'm in management.
Understood. But how do I know they weren't talking about this while they're supposed to be working? See what I mean? Like, she's supposed to get over to a check register, and I got a guy standing there who's got a grocery cart full of groceries, and she's jawjacking with a friend of hers about how much money they're going to win in the lottery.
Wait a minute. Can you say for sure that happened?
You're crazy.
Now I'm crazy because I just argued down your point.
No, you didn't argue down my point. Sound like a fool.
How do I say, well,
you
tell
sound
me.
Like an absolute fool.
Do you think
what
it's better?
What you're saying is that you feel you should have the right to take money that is not yours because of the fact that they bought a lottery ticket through you.
Ma'am,
that would be like me saying, okay, I bust my hump every day for the bank that I work for, so therefore, you know what, if I want to walk out of that bank with $20,000, I should be able to.
Wait a second.
You're talking about stealing.
You're talking about stealing. I'm not talking about stealing.
You are a thief.
I'm not stealing.
You are trying to find a legal way to be a thief.
No, but you want to be a thief without finding a legal way. At least I'm trying to find a legal way for these. But you got a lot of good ideas on how to steal.
Folks, let's get back to the point.
Don't you think it's better that 20% goes to ensuring a good relationship with your employer rather than wasting it away on liquor and drugs?
Don't you think that's better? A relationship with your employer, that's putting easy money in your employer's pocket because he's too damn selfish to go and get it himself.
No, I'm the guy who's going to sit there while I'm stocking sweet and low and watering the cucumbers. I'm looking at Sherry Gleason and the rest of these guys in their aprons going, okay, you got change for a 10? I tell you what, If they want to spend their money on liquor, drugs, on a Friday night with a bottle of wine, that's their business. I get mine.
You know what?
Oh,
I own
man.
My own house. I own a brand new vehicle.
So
my husband
claim.
Owns a $50,000 vehicle.
So you claim.
And we don't spend our money on liquor and drugs. We spend our money on what's important to our children. And that's probably what
something.
These people in your
how
your employment are
floors,
going to spend that on.
How are
it's
hardwood,
not for you to have.
How are hardwood floors important to your children?
How are hardwood floors important?
Because you
children?
Sound like the kind of woman that spends your money on the vertical blinds, the hardwood floors. Come on, right?
No, I spend it new, on actually a boat
got,
so that my children can go out
boat.
In the summertime and have fun.
I
spend
more,
it on
you
putting
bought,
money away for college.
You bought that boat so you and your husband can lay around on it with your friends, and there's an empty bottle of rum rolling around in the back of it.
Honey, I don't drink, so there's your answer to that. I'm a born-again Christian. I don't drink. I don't smoke.
Don't you guys lay around in that boat on the weekends with your friends?
Actually, no. We don't go out on the boat unless our kids are with us.
You know, Tina, every question
Dan
I ask you...
We haven't been out on the boat once this year because the weather's been bad and the boys haven't wanted to be out there.
Every question I've asked you, you come back like you're Mary, you know, the Virgin Mary. I think a lot of this you're making up.
Look it.
Well...
We're not trying to get into somebody's personal life. This woman is in management, and she has argued your point. I think we need to move on.
There's something about her I don't trust.
Well, that's fine. Thank you very
I
much, Tina.
I wouldn't trust you. Thank you.
Well, at least I'm not stealing the money. Like, you want to walk out of the bank with it.
Yeah, whatever.
Thanks, Tina. What's the problem, Mr. Green? It sounds...
I got no problem, Phil. I got no problem. Look, I know to you I'm a big, ugly slob, and I look like a freak. But I was almost the heavyweight champion of the world. Put that down in your paper there somewhere, Mr. Henry. Bob Green is no punk. Bob Green was almost the heavyweight champion of the world.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Don. Go ahead, Don.
You know, you're really coming off like an idiot, you know? I mean, why stop with just a big-ticket item like the lottery? Why don't you expand the bill to have office winnings for NCAA tournaments and that type of thing? Oh, it sounds like
because
you're
these are state-sponsored lotteries, sir. They're state-sponsored lotteries. They are not illegal gambling pools. And because they are sponsored by the state, then I believe that the employer is entitled to his piece.
I can guarantee that they won that ticket based on numbers that they discussed in your break room or when they were on the clock.
I think it just has to be a reasonable assumption. You know as well as I do that lottery tickets are purchased by employees that steal time from their employers while they're sucking down a Pall Mall.
Bull.
Do you buy a lottery ticket?
I don't waste my employer's time.
Uh-huh. So you think they are wasting their employer's time. You just made my point for me.
No,
nice
I did
going.
Not.
Nice going.
There
basically.
Are legitimate... I will agree that there are times when employees will waste an employer's time. Okay? That I will grant you. But I'm not going to say that every time they do it, they're buying lottery tickets.
Well, unfortunately,
okay?
Don, you know, when you go home on a Friday night... You crack open another box of Chardonnay or whatever. When I go home on a Friday night, you know, I go out to the opera.
Well, that's all well and good. I don't care what you do in your spare time. I don't care if you think what I do on my
Look,
spare
they,
time.
Look, if they steal my cut in the lottery, the next thing you know, they've tucked a 2-gallon jug of milk under their skirt. What do you think of that? See, that's the thing. I don't
stealing
like,
is stealing, but you're only entitled to the money you're entitled to, okay? You're entitled to the profit off the produce that you sell.
Wait a minute. I want
to
jump in here. Are you saying? Hold on, Don. I want to ask Mr. Green. Are you saying that you're suspecting your employees of stealing merchandise?
If these people are going to steal my lottery money, I'll bet you anything they're grabbing a box of crackers. They're getting
it's not your lottery money. If you think they're stealing from you, prove it and fire them.
Any
employees that you can trust.
Oh, so I'm supposed to walk up to them and pull their dress up to see if they got milk under there? That's what you want me to do? You want me to get in trouble now?
If you're gonna accuse them of something, prove it. Don't just sit in your office and hide behind your little, you know, small man syndrome like you've got power when you really don't. Prove it. Prove your accusations and go for it. If you don't like your employees, fire them.
You
have employees that you can trust.
I like my employees. I just don't like them sticking it to me with
a Wawa brush. You don't trust them. You're accusing them of stealing. If you don't like them, if you don't trust them, fire them and get them employees that you want.
I want to be able to trust them, and the way I trust them is when they win a lottery, they come up with my cut. Otherwise, they're sticking it in, twisting it, and turning and breaking it off.
All right, listen, Don, thank you very much for your call. Did you hear what the last gentleman was saying? You have a lot of suspicion about your employees, which I think is part of your problem.
No, it's not suspicion. It is normal business instinct, and I think you need to understand the difference, Phil. Suspicion is when you think someone is liable to hurt you in a physical way. Normal business instinct is knowing where I can make a dollar and making that dollar. And if the person keeps me from making a dollar I'm entitled to make, then I'm going to accuse him for stealing, not talking about spitting on the sidewalk.
You know, in the last 5 minutes, you've quoted two movies.
What are you talking about?
No, you have. You used a line from Requiem for a Heavyweight, and the last one was from The Untouchables. Now, what's going on?
You know what you look like to me with your bad shoes?
All right. 1-800-449-8686. I know to you, I'm a big, ugly slob, and I look like a freak. But I was almost the heavyweight champion of the world. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Born again. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The voice of Robert Greene in the preceding bit was actually performed by me. The people who called in believe Mr. Greene to be a real person. But I'll give you this much. I guarantee within the next 18 months, what we have just predicted on our show is going to come pass. An employer is going to sue an employee for a piece of his lottery winnings because he negotiated the sale of the ticket with his fellow employees on the job on his time. I'm telling you, if it doesn't happen within the next 18 months, all my clothes come off on Ventura Boulevard, 12 noon. High noon, the clothes come off right here at the corner of Ventura and Sepulveda. God is my witness. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. You can purchase our CD, The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002. It's called World Famous. All the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and throwaway kids in Hollywood, California, and they do an outstanding job of resourcing these kids with job opportunities, with the use of a computer, the use of telephones, some medical service, clothes, a shower. I mean, the kids are great. That work over there, and the kids that get the benefit of their help turn out to be pretty decent kids, too. All right, we're going to do a flashback here. This is Lloyd Bonafide, a heating and plumbing executive, as well as an ex-Korea War veteran, or still a Korean War veteran, and he was talking about how the fast lane is for passing only. So he tailgates people. If they don't get out of his way, a cop called in to say that tailgating is a crime as well and that Lloyd is just a criminal.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm sitting here driving down the freeway, and while I can certainly understand his frustration, and he is correct.
Thank you,
if you're in the left lane, you're not actively passing somebody, then you are technically breaking a law.
Thank you very much.
However, the fact that this other person, this lady, was breaking the law does not relieve you of your obligation to obey the law. When you tailgated this lady, you were breaking the law. Don't tell me that that's your right to do it. Be completely incorrect, sir. When you rear-ended her, at the very, very least, the act of tailgating her and rear-ending her was reckless driving, at the least. I'm not a district attorney. I wouldn't decide what you were charged with.
But, sir,
but I would say that it would be also vehicular assault, attempted murder. If somebody did die, it would, in fact, be second-degree murder.
Well,
you, sir, are a criminal.
Hold your horses there, son, because I fought for this country in Korea.
You know, sir, well, I'm proud of you for that, but it really doesn't, it's not germane to this situation at all.
Let me tell you something. German break me on purpose. So she got what she wanted, and
but you knew she was going to do that, and you stayed on the tail of this woman's car and hit her with the full force of your car, knowing she was going to break.
Hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. And you two guys, you know, you make me laugh, you guys.
I was fighting when I slapped the cuffs on you and put you in jail, sir.
Let me tell you something.
No matter what she was doing in the left lane, you still have an obligation to follow at a legal and appropriate distance.
You know what you
were doing was breaking the law.
I'll tell you what, if I had a vertical rabbing bumper like you guys have, I would have sent her over to me. And I wanted to ask you something, in all seriousness. Where do you get those vertical ramming bumpers? Because
I'd hate to tell you, because in your hands it would be a lethal weapon.
These are on police cars.
Well, you two guys, I was fighting Chinese before you two were even thought about. So don't start telling me about...
Okay, look, sir, we have honored your contribution to our country, and using the veteran status... To somehow support you breaking the law is wrong. You make veterans look bad.
Exactly. My father is also a Vietnam veteran, and I tell you what, he would be disgusted by your actions.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Elliot Ness.
Have a little respect for this man. He's a police officer. He's protecting your life.
Hey, pal, I protect my own life. And
by the way, if that was my wife and kids in that car, I'd hunt you down.
Oh, so you'd break the law.
Well, I'll get this cop to help me. What do you think about that?
So now he's a cop. He's not a police officer.
Look, pal, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, okay. You know something, Glenn or whatever. Who's the policeman? Glenn. Why don't you guys get out there in the far left lane and start ticketing some of these turkeys, so that I can get my, and I'm going up to see my grandson.
Do you realize, sir, that if the woman is listening to this that you hit, you could be arrested?
Well, you know something? I'm 69 years of age, and I'll tell you this much. I don't give a sweet Jesus.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, that's Lloyd, man. In a nutshell. I'm 69 years old, and I don't give a sweet Jesus. How many cats have you met like that? Like a million? Let me tell you what, pal. I've lived long enough. I don't need your crap. That's the way I'm going to be. When I'm that age, you figure you've lived it all and you've seen it all. And the older you want to know why a lot of people, the older you get more impatient. You hit a certain age. Seriously, it's like 38, 39. This is what happened. I got to be 38. And I suddenly said, I'm not going to stand in this line any longer and take this crap. So suddenly you start yakking back at people. So you say, oh, this old man was giving me crap. Yeah, that's what they do.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Jazz of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Indeed, come on down to the Jazz of Beverly Hills Summertime Barbecue. We've got our prime rib slow roasting all day Sunday. In fact, we slow cook it for 3 solid days. Come on down to Jazz.
Here at Jazz, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
And so nothing happened to him, though.
Well, thank God nothing happened to my son, and the teacher was arrested. And that isn't the only time, Phil. This case with the Marine and the child, though, points up the need for us to keep tabs on our kids.
Ted Bell has joined us. This Marine, and you've had personal experience with this as a father, Ted, this Marine that took this child or induced this kid to travel to Europe, this 12-year-old girl to travel to Europe, doesn't that bespeak, and it's always been my opinion, lacks the lax discipline on the part of the parents?
But Phil, what's difficult in this day and age, and believe me, I'm a very busy man, but my son, there's nothing more important to me than my son. And this is tough to say, but I know Marcy will understand. My son, Tom, is more important than my wife. In other words, this is tough to say, Phil, but if the two of them were in a burning automobile, let's say, and God forbid it should ever happen, I'd go for him first.
That's the instinct any adult would have, to save a child.
It really is. What's difficult, though, is for a young person, they want privacy, and I understand that. We're talking about the computer now.
Well, that's how this girl talked to this Marine, on the computer. And isn't this lax of the parents?
No.
Why don't you think it's lax?
Because the problem is, you can't get into the kid's computer. I can't get into my son's computer. I can't get in to take a look at his email. I can't access his history because I don't know. I don't know what he's doing because I don't have his password. And this is something that every adult runs up against. In our home, my son has full access to my computer. He has access to his mother's laptop. But we don't have his password. And without that, you can't get into a kid's computer. And that's what adults are up against, I think. So when you say these parents are lax, I think you need to take a step back and walk a mile in their shoes.
Well, as my kids like to say, you walk a mile in a guy's shoes, you're 1 mile away with somebody else's shoes. I mean, see what...
Well, that's very funny.
No, but I mean, the point here is...
I got to remember that.
Well, the point is, why don't you ask him for his password? You know, you're talking about your son's computer, you can't get in. Why don't you ask him for his password?
Well, I have, and then he gives me one that is fake. They're children, they're going to evade you, they're going to lie to you sometimes. He'll tell me, you know, that I'm not entering it properly. In other words, he evades me.
But you make him give it to you. You make him...
Well, what am I going to do, torture him? These are children, Phil.
Well, then you can threaten to take the computer away.
Look, you can't take a kid's computer away today because in this day and age, they have to do homework assignments, they have to do term papers, they need to do research. It is very tough. Look what happened to these parents in England. Their daughter runs off with this Marine. These poor people had no way of knowing because, again, they didn't have the password to her computer. Without it, you are really lost.
All right, I'm talking with Ted Bell, and Ted is a business owner, but he's a father, and we're talking about this girl that ran off with the Marine. How do you keep your kid from having these relationships online, you don't know nothing about it, accessing the kid's computer? There's obviously got to be a solution.
I really don't think, and this is the sad part, I don't think there's a solution until kids are taught that they have to have respect for their parents, and that extends to giving them their password. And I can tell you, Phil, otherwise, I can tell you what my father used to do. We had a wood shed out in the backyard. I realize it's old-fashioned, but let me tell you something. I'm Ted Bell, and one of the things that I've built my restaurant on is good old-fashioned quality. And my father had a wood shed out in the back, and if I messed up at all, he'd take me, get an old hickory switch, and take me out back and taught me right and wrong. And if it were up to me and not my wife, I would use good old corporal punishment on my son.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills about accessing your child's computer, you have to have the password. I understand you have to have the password. Maybe I'm not as savvy about computers as you are.
Well, Phil, first of all, I've used computers since 1978 in my business. I have used all the latest computers, and I probably know them better than the average person. But one thing you can't get around, and I don't care if you could be the biggest computer whiz going, unless you have the password to your child's computer, unless you can access that computer, forget it. You're not going to get in, and you're not going to find out what the kids are up to. And I can tell you this right now. When you take a look at this world that we're living in, Phil, when you look at some of the scum running around this country, when the police get a criminal back to the interrogation room, they don't fool around with them. They beat a confession out of him sometimes. Unfortunately, we can't do that with our kids. I wouldn't want to do that to my kid, but I got to find out what the password is.
All right, getting back to your son. This teacher took your son. How did this happen? Your son was on the computer. He was having an email relationship with a teacher.
All right, this is a guy that he was teaching. I forget what class it was, an English class. He was, and they were carrying on an email exchange. And you know how kids are; they get swept off their feet, thinking it's the love of their life. And
this was a male teacher.
That That does not make my son gay. What it makes is...
I'm not saying your son's gay, but this was a male teacher?
Yes, he was.
All right.
But, again, my son got swept off his feet. This guy took him to, or tried to get him to Vegas. The highway patrol caught them somewhere outside of the, at the state line. My understanding is they took him to the substation in Blythe, and I'm told they messed him up pretty good. But this never would have happened if my son had just given me his password.
Well, until we get passwords out of our kids, we won't get into their computers.
That is exactly right. And you've got millions of American parents out there who are completely at a loss. They don't know how to do it.
I don't agree with you. I think people know how to get passwords.
Okay, if people know how to get passwords, how is it their kids are having relationships online with perverts? I didn't think about that one, did you?
Well, maybe they're lax parents.
Okay, so you're saying we've got a country full of bad parents, or do we have a country full of parents who are being kept out of their kids' computers?
We have a lot of parents out there.
Because if it's so easy to get a password, Phil, why do we have kids being carried off every day by every form of pervert, every imaginable form of predatory pervert, and you're telling me that parents are able to get the passwords of their kids' computers?
I honestly don't know. I tend to think it's the lax parenting. I don't think it's that they can't get into the computer and get a password.
Look at these people in England. Are you trying to tell me they're bad parents? Are you trying to tell me...
No, I would not say they're bad parents.
All right. So what are you saying? I'm telling you, Phil, until a kid says, here's my password, you can't get in. How do you physically get in if you don't have the password?
I don't know computers as well as you do. My computer, I don't have a password on it. I guess my kids could use it any time they wanted to.
Well, that's your stupidity, not mine.
And I don't appreciate being called stupid.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, Phil. What I'm saying is kids are smarter than we are because they have passwords. This is the crux of the matter, and I say this to every parent out there. I'll give another example. When Tommy was 8, we had given him his first laptop. He was, smart enough to use a computer. Now, he went missing about a month after, for one afternoon. He turns up in Westwood in some guy's apartment. Now, one of these...
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not. One of these sickies that prey on young boys sent a cab. He gave him the home address. We get over there. He's down to his underwear.
Ted, you're kidding me.
No, I am not. And there was no way at all for us to know about this unless we had the password, and we didn't have the password.
You're telling me your 8-year-old son immediately got onto a chat room and got into some guy's apartment out in West L.A., and he's down to his underwear?
That is exactly correct. We've taken him to counseling. We've had him speak to a minister. He calls the minister all kinds of vulgar names. He tells him to F this and F off. He says he's an MF and F, all of these filthy words. You have to get that password. That's the first thing you need.
1-800-449-8686. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, why does the kid have his own computer in the first place?
They need it for school. They need it for term papers. They need it for research.
My kid can do all that on my computer.
Well, not
he does not have his own password. He doesn't need his own
password. I don't know if you know who I am. My name's Ted Bell. I have a steakhouse. I've got a lot of business that I got to do on my computer. I can't have some kid on it. I mean, I got to have the computer at night. I'm doing a lot of personal business at home.
Okay, then why does the kid need his own password? What I'm saying is, why can't you monitor what the kid's doing? Why does he need internet to do homework?
Well, to do research.
That's what a library's for.
Well, okay, somebody's got a library, huh? You got to take him down to the library. You got to pick him up. A lot of the materials they have in libraries are outdated. You have to understand. What is your name, sir?
My name is Larry.
Okay, Larry. In this day and age, the library is the internet. Now, I can't, and another thing you have to understand, I'm prominent in my community. I don't know what you do. I'm sure you're a respected man in your community. My name is Ted Bell. I can't have a son of mine without a computer. He's going to be the laughing stock. People are going to look at me like I'm a freak.
Well, maybe that's what you've got to do to get him.
You're saying your son... I'm sorry, Larry. I just wanted to ask. You're saying that
So I'm Ted Bell. I got a son at school with no computer. Is that what you guys are suggesting? That
What Larry's suggesting is that you let him use your computer.
I can't have him on my computer. I'm doing business. Do you have children, sir?
Yes, I do.
All right. Are you able to get into their computer without the password?
What's that?
Are you able to get into their computer without knowing their password?
He doesn't have his own computer. He uses my computer. He needs to get in anything. He asked me,
I'm
Ted Bell. If it's something I don't want him into, I don't even get into it.
I understand that, but I'm Ted Bell.
Oh, okay. That makes it special. I see.
Well, I don't understand.
What
are you just... I mean, you sound sarcastic in what I'm trying to say.
Well, when you say you're Ted Bell, it doesn't... I don't think it means anything to this guy.
No, it doesn't. I mean... You talk about disciplining your kids. Discipline them. Take the computer away from them. Send them to the library.
If it was up to me, I would use corporal punishment to get the password out of him. But my wife won't let me do it.
Well, in other words, you'd spank the kid until he gave up the password?
Hey, what the police do it all the time. The police do it all the time. I'm Ted Bell.
So you're saying you're as good as the police?
I'll tell you what, in a lot of ways, yes, I am.
Well, whatever that means. All right. Larry, thank you.
You have to understand something. I can't have a kid of mine go into school and the kids go, you're Ted Bell's son, and yet you don't have your own computer. I become a laughingstock. The bar business drops. Our early bird specials begin to drop. We don't have near the movie business. I've got a lot of studio people who come in for late night drinks, and a lot of them just say, going to come in.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell, who believes the whole problem with this girl going off to Europe with the Marine, the whole problem of children being victimized online with these predators. Parents do not have access to their computers because the kids just won't give them the password. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Do you know your kid's password? That's probably the thing that we ought to say now at the turn of the millennium. Instead of it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your kids are? Yeah, I know where they are. They're upstairs in their bedroom. The question is, do you know your kid's password? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse, come on down.
Well, down for our Ted's of Beverly Hills Beef Loin Plus. You get a little bit of the beef and a little bit more only at Ted's.
Put our meat in your mouth.
All right, Ted Bell is with us. Your son was abducted twice by predators online that he met on the internet.
Absolutely, Phil. And so...
You identify with what this family has done, has been going through in Britain.
Absolutely. There's nothing worse than not knowing where your child is. And the thing that I think bothers me the most about Tommy is I cannot get him to understand that his relationship with this man is potentially destructive. Now, he's known him since he was 8. He has...
Wait. Is this the guy that he went to the apartment of?
Yes.
Why is he still in touch with him?
I can't do anything about it. I can't...
Why can't you?
I don't have the password. Again, we get back to this. He's always talking about this guy, Bernie, and what a great talker he is, and all the things that he... I said, who is this man? He says, this is the guy that I went to his apartment that time, Daddy. Do you remember? I said, do you understand how dangerous that is, Tommy? He says, don't worry, I won't do it again. And I said, Tommy, I understand that, but you're still a young man.
How old is your son now?
He's 14.
And he has contact with this guy...
He tells me that he has no physical contact with him.
Well, you don't know that that's true or not.
My son's not going to lie.
But he won't give you his password, so what makes you think he's not going to lie? How do you know he's not had any physical contact with this guy?
He tells me that they went off camping 2 weeks ago, but he went with the Brochard family.
He went off camping 2 weeks ago with the Brochard family, so he says.
Phil, what you're trying to do is to, I understand. I know my son, all right? I just don't know his password. I mean, it sounds funny, but that's it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Still in contact with a guy that he went over to his apartment who was 8?
Phil, look, I'm Ted Bell. I'm a very respected businessman. I have a lot of contacts in this community. I can't afford to be made a laughingstock. And if I'm supposed to take a computer away from a boy so that when I walk into my restaurant, I've got one of the top presidents of a studio here in Hollywood saying, oh, your kid doesn't have a computer. No thanks. I think I'll go down the road to Morton's. I can't do that.
All right, here's James. James, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm just making a referment. I own a business. I'm here in Salt Lake.
Uh-huh.
I own a business.
Uh-huh.
I work 10, 12 hours a day, but yet I still take time out for my kids, but I watch them when they're on the computer. They have a certain amount of time. They're allowed to do their homework and do their research, and if they have problems, I'm there to help them.
What happened to trusting your kid?
I do trust my kid.
Well,
I let him do everything.
Like
I just sit in the background.
It doesn't sound like it.
And watch him.
What we try to do, James, at our house is give trust. And additionally, I have to trust my son because I have, I'm Ted Bell, and what I do in my community is a very involved and daily and exhausting thing. I'm a prominent businessman. I'm a member of the chamber. I also operate a Beverly Hills Antique Automobile Association. My wife and I are donors at the music center. We have a lot going on. I'm Ted Bell.
Well, let me ask you this then. If you're that busy, how busy is your wife to watch your kid?
Well, my wife's been in Spain for 3 weeks, and she does travel, so this is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Well, how often?
And if you're that prominent and you,
but
can,
you know what?
And
here's
you have
thing.
That, let me finish, please.
Why not get the password? That's the key. That's
well,
the key, believe me.
The one thing is,
yeah.
First of all, if you give them a computer...
Because I'm Ted Bell.
I don't care who you are. You could be the President of the United States. You still wouldn't be able to get your kid's password.
Well, wait a minute. I can't not have a computer for my kid. I'm Ted Bell.
Like I said, I don't care. The thing is...
Did you say you live in the Los Angeles area or no?
No, I live in Salt Lake.
Oh, well, that... Okay.
Well, all right. But the point is, Ted, you can't keep saying... Your prominence in the L.A. community.
When my son says he's meeting his friends at Ben and Jerry's, I trust him that he's not going off to meet this Bernie.
Okay, then let me ask you this. Why haven't you got a court order to have that stopped?
I didn't know what was going on.
You've known about it since he was 8.
No, I knew that he went to the guy's apartment when he was 8.
Okay.
Now I just found out 3 weeks ago because some flowers came to the house.
Flowers?
Okay. Yeah.
From this Bernie guy?
Yeah.
And they were for your son.
Why haven't you told the police about this to get them involved?
Look, I'm Ted Bell. What I need...
All right, listen, thank you very much, James. 1-800-449-8686. So you're Ted Bell. You don't call the cops. You take care of your own problems. Is that it? Kids online. Why don't we get their passwords? Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Dad's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills if your child has been abducted. Have a cocktail and a wait word from the police on what they found.
Wanna put our meat in your mouth.
All right, Ted, I'm sorry. We had a little technical malfeasance there, but in any event, your sentiment is well made.
Tommy, the point I want to make about my son, Tommy, is he wanted, here's my moral dilemma. He wants to invite this guy, Bernie, to the restaurant for dinner. Now, the man's 43 years old. Can you imagine what is going to happen to my business if my 14-year-old son brings a 43-year-old man into my restaurant and people suddenly look at my son like he's a freak? And this is why I need his password, because if they're looking at my son like he's a freak, they look at me like I'm a freak. I'm the boy's father. And if he's a freak, I'm a freak. If he's a perv, I'm a perv. If he is gay, I'm gay. And I can't have that. I'm Ted Bell. That's why, and you can imagine what it, if it's that bad for me, what it's like for the Irish spirit.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell, who believes that the way to keep these kids safe is to get the password to get into their computer, but his son will not give him his password. Here's Karen. Karen, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Hi,
Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to say that you sound like a very intelligent man, and you care very much about your name and yourself. You don't care about your son.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for giving me the word from the top of the mountain.
Well,
am I speaking with God? Or, ma'am, I love my son. I love my son very much, ma'am. And I take very good care of my son.
You just told all of your restaurant for people that come to visit you over the air that you care more about what they order to drink than you do about your son.
No, I didn't. I said, if your child has been abducted...
Give your computer away that the people are not going to come visit you in your restaurant because you're a bad father.
Well, that is... Hey,
that is cool.
I take care of my family. And if they want to live...
You do. Your
if
son
they want to live in a 10,000 square foot home...
a 44-year-old man for 6 years, and you take care of your family?
He won't give me the password.
You don't need the password.
Yes, you do.
You stand over him and you say, spot check. And you ask him to sign on and move aside.
You
check where he's been.
You say
and
what?
Then you ground him from the computer
say,
when he's been
check?
Visiting with his boyfriend.
Wait a minute. You say spot check?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess that works in your house, ma'am. In my home, if I say spot check, my son gives me the middle finger. And he's,
well,
and
you know
he's
what?
Entitled
my
to do that.
My son has respect for me because I'm a parent.
Hey, wait a second. Are you trying to tell me my son doesn't respect me? I've asked to intrude
how
on his privacy.
How many times has he called you a MF?
I have tried to intrude on his privacy. You have to understand he has every right to be angry.
Wait a second. I agree with this.
He doesn't have every right to tell his parent that.
Wait a minute, Karen. Are you trying to tell me that you walk in on your children and you say, spot check, and then they get out of the way and you get on
their computer?
Number
one,
I'm surprised your kids haven't called you an MF. I'm surprised.
My son never had a problem like this. Because he knew he could. I was going to be a parent, not a buddy.
Ma'am, has your son ever called you the C word?
Absolutely.
What, ma'am? Watch your language. We can't have that on the air.
Okay. Well, he ought to call you the C word for butting into his life.
Wait a minute.
Well, my son is not in the.
Wait a minute.
Yours is, and your son has not had a parent.
How do you know? How do you know what your son's doing? Do you know whether your son's got a boyfriend out there someplace?
My son is 27 years old, been married for a year and a half,
and lives at home.
Has a beautiful family.
And lives at home. Enough said.
No, he does not.
Well, then what do you mean spot check?
He has not lived at home since he was 19 years old.
Wait. What do you mean spot check?
When he was...
What are you talking about?
I tell him, okay, spot check. You said you know computers.
Your son?
You know how to go in and see where they've been.
Your son you do that to, who's 27.
No.
Where do they live in the basement?
Your son's age.
Wait a minute, that was 8 years ago. They didn't have personal computers then.
Oh, yes, they
did.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did. They certainly
did.
No, they did not have personal computers. I'm talking about personal computers.
Your son was having an affair with a 40-whatever-year-old and was at his apartment when you found him.
Not 8 years
ago. They had a van, didn't they?
Not 8 years ago, 6 years ago. Look, Karen, get ready for the C word if you keep up with those spot checks. I don't know who you think.
All right.
You need to learn to be a parent, sir.
Excuse me. Oh, thank you very much, Jesus. Where do I get my ticket punched so I get into heaven?
It has nothing to do with religion,
thank
and you,
you
know
Karen.
It.
Karen,
it has to do with you more about your relationship with
get
your
get ready
restaurant.
For your kid to flip you the middle finger and call you the C-U.
I don't want to hear it on the air. Do you understand me?
He's never done that.
Thank you very much,
Karen. He never would do that because he respects me as
right.
a parent.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Here's Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Ted.
Yes, ma'am.
Ted, hey, I have a question for you real quick. What is your main top point for really coming on the show? What are you expecting to gain by talking to people?
What I'd really like to do, Chris, is I want to alert parents of the dangers that are on the Internet for their kids.
Okay.
And to find out how we can get together as parents and how we can bond together as a community.
Okay.
And get passwords and find out how to get into these computers.
Okay.
So that we are looking at their email, we see all the perverts that they're talking to, all these sick and twisted degenerates that our kids, for some reason, have fascination with.
Okay.
Now, I was young once, and I know what it's like to be excited, but I have no, I don't understand why a little girl living in England would want to hang around with some disgusting 31-year-old Marine, you know,
can,
who only wants
can
to,
I tell you
to
why?
Have, you know, put his hands all over her.
I'm going to tell you
okay.
why. I'm going to tell
so
you
really,
why
the
right now.
The reason why I came on the show was to try and get parents alerted to this. And the number
right.
one thing we need to do is get that password. You get that, you got the key to the domain.
Okay, I understand
years ago,
that. But
when
I
would you please, Mr. Bell, let her talk?
Listen, Ted, I have a quick point that I want you to hear.
Time
okay?
for a commercial?
I want you to hear, okay? First of all, I have got to...
She's still on the air?
Yes, she's talking to you.
What?
I'm talking to you.
Go ahead,
listen,
ma'am.
I have to agree with Karen on some point, okay? I don't want you to get offended. I want you to hear me.
We need 10 pounds of potatoes.
Okay.
We're also
going
to need 2 bottles of liquor.
Ted, this guy's like ordering and he's on national television radio right now.
Mr. Bell?
I'm sorry, Phil. I had an emergency here. Go ahead.
Okay, listen, Ted, I just got to lend you this for like one quick second, okay? Karen had some good points, and I just want you to take this and absorb this.
Yeah, the rash is still there, too.
Okay. He's being very rude, but I'll say this to the rest of the world.
Are you, Mr. Bell,
Ted,
are you there, sir?
I'm sorry, Phil. I've got an emergency. We have got a baked potato festival that's coming up on Sunday.
You know why?
What
he's doing this for advertisement.
Yeah, you know, you're plugging your restaurant a lot.
I am not.
Yeah,
what I'm trying to...
Yes.
Did you have something you wanted to say, ma'am? I wish you'd spit it out, because I do have a lot of...
this is what I got to
I got
say,
a lot
Ted,
to do.
You are very wrapped up in yourself, and you care more about yourself
right.
than you do your son. And if you did care about your son, that computer would be gone.
Right.
And you know what? You can sit here and talk about being the laughing stock all day long, but you've already made yourself the laughing stock to Hollywood or whoever it is that you are. I've never heard of you before.
I'm Ted Bell.
The way you're coming across... The way you're coming across over the radio is very non-nurturing. Your son is a victim, and
right.
he's going to continue to be a victim if you continue to be non-feeling and as wrapped up in
is
your
the
son
caller,
as you are.
Is the caller there?
I'm on. I'm
right.
here.
Thank Chris.
I'm
thank
here.
You. I heard you, Chris, and everybody heard you.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I bet you didn't. 1-800-449-8686. Pedro, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, Phil. Great show. Listen.
Thank you.
All I have to say is, you know, this person, all he's doing, Ted, he's just making excuses, you know, for his lack of involvement. He's making excuses because he wants to blind himself to the responsibility that he hasn't faced yet as a parent, you know?
Wait a minute, wait, are you talking about me? Wait a minute.
You bet I'm talking about you, Ted.
Well, let me ask you, are you a father? Are you a father, sir?
You bet I am.
Okay. Do you know your kid's password?
First of all, my son is 1 year old.
Nobody,
okay?
It doesn't matter. Do you know his password?
He's a year old. He doesn't have a computer.
Can you believe this guy?
I hate to clue you in, but this is America. Kids are on computers very young around here.
1 year.
You're
going to
get shocked.
1 year.
Doesn't make
let
any difference.
Let me tell you one thing.
How are you going to get the computer password when he is old enough?
When he's old enough, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll tell him, give me this password. And you know what? If he lied to me, he better not, because whatever will happen afterwards will be a lot worse. If he gives me a password and it doesn't work, number one, he's
going
to sit in front of me and type it in. He lied to me. Whatever discipline he had coming just got a lot worse.
But I
guarantee you one thing. I get the password. I will be in charge of my house,
Pedro,
not my 14-year-old.
I want to say this with delicacy. Are you from South America?
I'm actually from Europe.
All right. Europe, I don't know about, but in South America, the police beat things out of people. We don't do that in America.
Did I say
so when you're coming on a little bit like you're a member of the Argentinian police here, you know, I will get it. These children today...
Wait a second. We're talking about a father and a son. You give me that password. I speak directly to my kids all the time.
Look, we're not in Chile where you take a rubber hose to a guy's feet. This is the United States of America. And individuals have rights here.
Not kids. Kids have no rights. Not in the house, they don't. You get the password from them.
You know what, actually? You're responsible for the actions of this child because he's 18 years of age.
Are you trying to tell me that?
So now I
introduced him to this 43-year-old perv?
You bet I'm going to be in control of the household.
Right.
You basically let this 14-year-old...
And by the way, Phil, he just called...
...your 10,000 square foot home, which you're so proud of.
Sir, I had never called you a name. You have just called me an asshole.
When did I say that?
You just said it.
He said household.
Household. No, you said asshole.
He said household. In charge of the household.
Well, I heard something else.
Ted, you're hearing what you want to hear. I tell you what, why don't you go to your... What's your kid doing right now?
Listen.
I'm at work.
Let me top all of this off. I'm a manager in the IT industry. I don't need a password. I would only get a password from him to establish ground rules and respect and authority in the house.
I'm not going to burn holes in my son's arms with cigarettes to get a password.
I guarantee you that. There is no computer I cannot get in.
Sir, I'm not going to burn holes in my son's arms with cigarettes to get a password. Thank you.
Are you still there, Phil?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did I ever say anything
No, you spoke eloquently, sir, and you spoke like a responsible father, and I appreciate your call.
All right, Phil. Thank you, great job. Keep it up.
Thank you. I'm not going to burn holes in my son's arms. Let me tell you what, Ted, I will. Only your son. 1-800-449, because your kid needs smacking around, man. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The voice of Ted Bell was performed by me, and those guys that called in were unpaid and unprompted. Nice people, but a little clueless. All right, this is the Phil Henry Show. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, and our website www.philhenryshow.com. Yesterday, we had an interesting call from a young man by the name of R.C. Collins, a cadet at a military academy. He said he thought some of those GIs over in Iraq are chickening out. They look a little weak. They're crying on TV. And a lady called up to ask what kind of crack and ecstasy and drugs was he on.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't know what that commandant done with that broom, but he should have shoved it somewhere. And not in his mouth. Furthermore, what kind of weed is he smoking?
I assure you, ma'am, that he's got that
What kind of weed is he smoking? He must be getting weed from somewhere, or ecstasy, or something.
I don't take any of
that. Because he talks like a damn stupid jerk. That's just what he is.
If you knew
and I don't know how you can put a fool like that on the air. I just cannot, understand.
He's in a military academy, ma'am.
I think he's a jerk. He is nothing but a two-faced low-down. Get him out of that
academy. I've got the courage to go over to Iraq.
He's to do anything to anybody.
All right, well, let's let R.C. respond. Go ahead.
He is
ma'am, I doubt very seriously if any of our GIs could take a broom handle the way I did. And
oh,
then
God.
File a... What?
Oh, God.
Oh, God, what?
Oh, God. You should have had that stuck up your butt. That's
yeah,
what you should have had instead of in your mouth.
Can you give directions
you know
on how to
you
do
know
that?
What? You know what? You better go and get yourself a place to stay all by yourself, because you are not worth it. You are not an American.
Ma'am,
you
I
must
love
be
my
some
country,
kind of a Nazi.
And I want to go over to
you
Iraq.
You are. You're nothing but a low-bred faced little bastard.
What?
I have to tell you that.
Ma'am,
because our boys are the best.
You used a dirty word.
I am 78 years old.
No,
and all my children were in this military. And thank God I got them home. And God bless America.
I'm an American. I'm serving my country right now.
A fool like you to be on the air.
Let me tell you a little bit about being a soldier. I'm prepared to put a wooden stake through Saddam Hussein's heart.
It's a disgrace that you're on the air.
I want to take this head out.
It's a disgrace that you're on the air.
Well, ma'am, I'll fight for you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Henry, she's not allowing me to say anything.
You are. You are a disgrace to the Americans.
Go ahead and respond, R.C.
I'm going to take Saddam Hussein's head out on a stake. Then
all right. All right, you're going to do.
You can thank me for any time for your freedom, by the way.
You're a low-faced, you call yourself an American.
What do you mean low-faced? I don't get that.
You are not an American, dear boy. You are not.
You want to see my birth certificate and everything.
You are not. You better go work for your father. You better do something, dig holes or something.
Get a piece of fat and slide off.
Go, really? Me? You better to tell your mother and father that wherever the hell they got you from.
Father's sending
wherever
me.
Wherever they got you from.
Father's sending
it's,
for
it's
me.
It's a disgrace.
All right, okay.
You
thank
are
you.
A disgrace.
You better calm down, Granny. You're going to pop something.
That's right.
All right.
You
all
right. are. He's a disgrace.
All right, I'm sorry about that, Marie. Everybody's
he is
entitled.
A disgrace.
Everybody's at.
You want to say that one more time?
He's a disgrace.
Thank you. That's clear for the drop.
He is
yeah,
a
okay.
disgrace.
All right, Marie. Thank you
he's
very much.
A disgrace to the Americans. He should be. He should. Oh, God, please. Get me off.
Get her off. Who's she talking to?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, when RC said, get a piece of fat and slide off. I got that line originally from a Laurel and Hardy movie I was watching, and that must mean something to that generation, because she was just shocked when he said that. What does that mean? It's just, nobody else knows it. Like, anybody over 60, oh, get a piece of fat and slide off. What you do? Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And coming up, we are going to be talking with Harvey Weierman, an attorney at law, about yesterday's tragedy in Santa Monica, California, where a man ran into a crowd of people with his car. An elderly man killed 9 people. Our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Our souvenir shop at our website is a place you ought to visit if you're a Phil Henry fan or you know somebody in the family. You want to get somebody a birthday present or an anniversary present. I think a very nice thing to give your wife for her anniversary would be a Citizens Auxiliary Police hat. Or if you're, let's just say your husband's having a big bash or something, get him some of those Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses and coasters. Yeah. We also have the Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mugs, our coffee and latte mugs, T-shirts, all kinds of stuff. Go to the souvenir shop, pick up our best of CD as well. All the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and throwaway kids in Hollywood, California. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
Phil Henry Show brought to you by ABC. Don't miss the premiere of 10-8 Officers on Duty this Sunday at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
These couples retreats are very popular. Dean Wheeler and his wife Gwen Wheeler, who are sex therapists in Mill Valley, California, operate a couples weekend called Sparking the Marriage or Resparking the Marriage. Dean, thanks for joining us. The basis of this is what?
First of all, Phil, thank you for having us on. We're excited to be on the air across the country to talk about the work we're doing here at Kaiser Chateau. But the work we're doing is really simple. It's about the unspoken truth behind women and what makes them happy when it comes to sex and intimate sex. That women enjoy, and I found this out from my wife, Gwen, about 8 years ago. She suggested to me that she would enjoy it were I to make love to her in a more aggressive way. So we're talking about aggressive sex. We're talking about a woman being able to let her fantasies go and imagine herself being taken in an aggressive way. And most women are afraid to express this. Most women are so frightened to express their desire to have an unusually aggressive sexual encounter with their husband that they don't even know they have this. Most women are afraid to express it to their husbands because they don't want to intimidate them.
All right, let's be clear. What do you mean by aggressive? We're not talking about rape.
No, not at all. No, we're talking, it's completely different from that world, Phil, because rape is violence. We're talking about lovemaking. But finally giving women what they want and being very vocal about it. Women are embarrassed to ask their husbands for this.
Tell me, without being too graphic, what is it that we're talking about here? A woman wanting an aggressive sexual encounter with her husband or her boyfriend? Or
whoever, any man that she's willing to have it. We're talking about, there is role playing going on. I can tell you that some couples that we encounter enjoy, the wife enjoys the husband to dress up as if he's a telephone repairman or one of the men working outside in construction work, and he's decided to come into the house to ask to use the bathroom, and he takes her there on the bed.
So she's fantasizing this?
Yes, she fantasizes this. What we do...
Are you at your retreat right now?
No, Phil, I'm in San Francisco. I'm at a workout center that Gwen and I use. But we are planning on heading up there tomorrow for our weekend seminar.
All right, this is... You said that aggressive sex is something that women dare not ask for, right?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because they're embarrassed. They're afraid their husband might consider them to be a little off. They're afraid it will intimidate their husband. But once they learn as a couple the secret desire of a woman, that at times, she wants it rough and she wants it a little dirty and nasty.
What about women? You've talked about men. The women know they want this. You said that some cases they don't.
I'm sorry, Phil.
All right. Do women know they want sex aggressively, or...
I think some women know, and they dare not ask for it. I think other women have pushed it so far back. I think it's a deep, gnawing need in every woman to have a man pin their arms to the bed with his knees and grab the back of her head by the hair and really show her the other side and the fun that she really wants to have.
All right, I want to be clear. Women secretly desire to have their arms pinned.
Well, I don't know what her fantasy is. In my wife's case, she wanted me to get into a work shirt and construction boots and pretend like I was somebody who was there to deliver mail, and that I just sort of took her right there on the porch to her house.
How do we know, Mr. Wheeler, that you're saying, I don't know women...
Well, let me ask you, have you ever had this experience?
Excuse me?
Have you, Phil, ever had this experience?
Well, I don't want to say, okay? It's not about me.
Well, I think that's a clear yes, isn't it?
This conversation, Mr. Wheeler, is not about me. This is about your this seminar or this...
Well, no, it's a couples workshop, Phil. It's a retreat to get women to find the way to ask their husbands for the thing that they really wanted, I think, in sex. Because all of this submissiveness, all of this passiveness, all of this romance, all of this, the overemphasis on things being soft and gentle, really insults a woman. I think women finally have to be respected. I think we need to hear them. They are crying out to have a man be aggressive, to dominate, abusive to a point. But men don't give it to women the way they like it because men have been told it's wrong and it's.
All right. Well, there you go. I think at the bottom line, most men would have a difficult time doing that because they wonder if she's serious.
Well, at our workshop, which we have in Mill Valley, women are encouraged to unblock and give themselves. We're not just talking about dressing like a cop or anything like that. The aggressive sexual role playing we engage in includes. Allowing a woman for the first time in her life to indulge in the fantasy about having sex with a serial murderer or a Ted Bundy type. Someone who has broken into the house for money because they're on crack. And these are fantasies that women want to have. And
well, are you saying a husband dresses up like a crack addict?
I'm saying wherever her mind wants to go, go there with her because women secretly fantasize about this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Dean Wheeler. He is with the Sparking the Marriage Workshop in Mill Valley, happening this weekend and the following weekend, about the secret desire of women to have aggressive sex. How often does a woman want aggressive sex?
Well, I suspect a lot because she doesn't get it from the average American man. He's too... the American man, it's unfortunate, has been beaten into submission. He's had any tendency to give a woman this, beaten out of him by an increasingly, forgive me, but an increasingly lesbian-dominated women's liberation movement. And so any instinct that a man may have to give a woman, a lot of African-American women, just to give an example, they would never tell their husbands this. But these are black women who fantasize sometimes about being taken by, an Aryan youth, a Nazi youth, a skinhead who...
You're telling me the African-American...
I've talked to some black women, yes.
That she wants to be taken by an Aryan, by a skinhead.
Yeah, and the same thing with white women who have this sexual desire. Some of them have told me they want to have sex but with a black cab driver. Just aggressive things like that. And women don't want to make love on rose petals. They would rather get their get it hard on a kitchen table, on a wood floor, or have their husbands dressed like a plumber. And just throw them onto the floor,
So in other words, there is a rape fantasy.
No, it is not. We're trying to take the term cuddle out of people's sexual lives. And it's so belittling and unsatisfying for women. Let's cuddle. Let's spoon. When all a woman wants is to have a man grab the hair, the back of her head, as he pins her arms with his knees, and just say, you see anything you like, you go right ahead and... start working, which,
Wow. I mean...
Well, you say wow because you're a typical American man who has had his aggressive sexuality drummed out of him by the lesbian cadre that runs the National Organization of Women.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is a lot to process.
Absolutely, Phil. That's why we have our workshop.
I mean, you're claiming that women are fantasizing out there. It's not rape, I understand, but they want aggressive sex. Why don't they just tell their husbands?
Because they don't want to intimidate their husbands.
Because American men can't deal with that?
No, absolutely not. I mean, some may, but American men have been told this is wrong, and if you do it, you are going to jail, and the women that are telling them that don't even like having sex with men. They prefer having sex with other unshaven women.
All right. Please don't get into a jag here where we're knocking lesbians, though.
Well, no, I'm not. But I'm telling you, that's why American men don't want to be aggressive with women. They're afraid my wife kids me, she said some big dyke's going to come around the corner with a board with a 2x4. No, I think that what American men need to do is to tell them, I know you want it this way, and pin their arms to the bed, and, unshaven, maybe you haven't bathed, maybe your hands are dirty, maybe your breath stinks of garlic and wine, and as if you're almost like a gardener who decided to come in to use the bathroom. And
all right, what is this about? Why do women fantasize about wanting to be taken by a gardener, a plumber? What is that about?
I think they're so bored with the button-down men in their lives, these men who go off to the office, everything at clockwork, that when they look out and see a gardener, a Hispanic man, maybe in his 50s, it heats them up. They burn for something that maybe he's got. I don't know, to be honest with you. All I know, this is why they want it.
Well, like I said, it's a lot to process, man. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Dean Wheeler. Now, he and his wife have started a workshop for couples that encourages women to be honest about their desire for a more aggressive sexual encounter at times. A lot of it is really spooky. I said to him, does this encourage rape? He said, no, it's not rape. It is aggressive sex where the wives want their husbands to dress up like telephone repairmen, to dress up like gardeners, to dress up like plumbers. One other question before we go to break, Dean. Why is this necessary?
Why
is it necessary? I mean, why not just let them discover it on their own?
Phil, it's a good question. Today, 50% of all marriages end with divorce. That is a disgrace. It's a disgrace for our country. It's a disgrace for the marriage institution. In the year 2000, there were some 980,000 divorces in the United States. For every 1 million or 2 million, I should say, marriages. So marriage is in big trouble. Marriage is on the downhill slide. And women are to blame, mostly, because they won't be honest with men and say, I need, every now and again, for you to put on some gardening gloves, for you to rub axle grease on your face, for you not to bathe, and for you to just take me like a stinking animal while my husband is at work, like the fag that he is. Excuse my language, Phil, but this is...
Are you saying that the women are talking this way about their husbands?
Yes. Yeah, in their fantasy. They want a dirty, filthy gardener to take them while that faggot husband of theirs is off with his secretary somewhere. That's the fantasy, and that's what's exciting for them.
It's hateful. It's
okay, you're coming off like a oh, Jesus.
What?
Hateful. See, this is what you do. It's hateful. You sound like a beaten into submission, lesbian-dominated American male. And I'm trying to break you of the habit. I'm trying to break all men of the habit.
Well, so you're insulting me.
No, Phil, just stop while you're ahead. Just stop it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Why is there a need to tell women to let their aggressive sexual side come out because, marriage is ending in divorce? Does your marriage need this? Do you see other women who need this? Do women want to express to their husbands that they'd like their sex rough and aggressive at times, but they're just too afraid to intimidate their husbands? Dean Wheeler and his wife run a workshop in Mill Valley, California that teaches men and women how to engage in aggressive, rough sex and re-sparking their marriage. He says most men are afraid to ask their wives if they want it that way because they're dominated mostly by a lesbian women's liberation movement, and the women are too afraid to ask their husbands because they think their husbands are too weak to deal with it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking here with Dean Wheeler and his wife. Is Gwen, with you?
Gwen comes to all the seminars with us, Phil, yeah.
And the seminars and the weekend is about women expressing their need for aggressive sex. We're not talking about violence, but you did say that African-American women, some harbor a fantasy about being taken by a Nazi skinhead.
I found that, and I study the fantasy life of women very carefully so that we know when we have our seminars on weekends that we're directing our energies and directing our discussions in the right way. Many black women that I have talked with, this is going to sound, but I don't think it's sick. I think it's just they want to have some fun. They fantasize about being made love to or being aggressively taken by a man in a sheet or in a hood.
Are you kidding me? Are you talking?
No, but there's nothing about that that's wrong. I think that...
Well, oh, my God, it sounds like she's a...
Well, hold on for a minute, Phil. Hold on. Listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. I tell all the men this. Oh, my God. Did you hear yourself there?
Well, what I'm saying is...
No, but did you hear yourself? That's exactly what women can't stand. And the pandering to them, Phil, and what you're doing right now. Oh, my God. You're acting gay and fag-like, and
Okay, let's not start...
No, I'm using the words that women use. This is the language they use. I don't think you are. Oh, my God! This is, exactly what a woman doesn't want. Go home to her. Put on a dirty work shirt. Put on some boots. My wife enjoys me wearing, and again, I don't want to bring my own life, a leather jacket and black cowboy boots and nothing else. And she wants me to take her that way, or leave my boots on during lovemaking. These kinds of things.
All right, I don't like being called a fag.
I'm sorry, Phil, and I'm nothing against our gay friends. I'm saying that's how women think when you do that. Oh, I have to protect the sensitivity of my women. It's just gay in a negative way.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Eileen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hi, Eileen.
Hi there.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Yes. I would like to say to Mr. Wheeler, number one,
uh-huh.
I am appalled at you attacking Phil like that.
Phil needed it.
You know what? I'm sorry, but you and your wife, respectively, whatever you like to do in your own bedroom, that's fine.
Yes.
I've been married for 34 years.
Well, wonderful.
I am quite happy. If my husband ever attempted to... put his knees on my arms and pull me by the hair, I'm sorry, it would be over.
Well, no,
I love
to
cuddling.
Approve of it. You have to approve of it. I'm not saying take you forcefully, but let's get rid of the word cuddle, Eileen.
I love cuddle.
Oh, but
and you know
so,
what? You're going to get most women who are so sick of men, not my husband,
but are so sick of men just getting on and getting off. Pardon that.
Eileen, this is for the woman. This is not for the men.
Yeah, I know it's for the woman.
Imagine the sexual excitement that you can have being...
way, way out of the park, man. I'm sorry.
No.
You are.
Are you telling me that you don't have any desire for a man wearing a telephone lineman uniform to take you from behind?
Take me on the porch?
Yes.
Where are you from? What planet?
Ma'am, these are discussions.
These
are discussions I've had.
I hope other women call because...
Eileen, come on, dear. If your husband caresses your cheek one more time, I bet you're about to burst out crying because it's so boring.
Absolutely not. We sit, we hold hands, we watch movies.
Oh, my God.
A woman loves a tender touch. She does not like aggressive men.
Eileen, I ask you this because I want you to be happy. I know you're happy. But until you know the joy of rope burn, when your husband puts a rope...
Wait a minute. Are you?
I'm sorry if I'm yelling, but I am so upset.
No, Eileen, I'm not saying that he does it on purpose.
We're talking Nazi.
No, if you're black, if you're a black woman,
I can't even think of the words. I'm so mad.
If you're a black woman, there are fantasies that African American women report where they like being taken by a man wearing a swastika
armband. Good for them. That's wonderful. If that makes them happy.
Okay, let me jump in if I could, Eileen. This is Phil Henry.
Little percent of the women.
Let me jump in here. I want to ask a question. When you say that, Hold on, Eileen.
Yes.
Dean, first of all, what is the point of the rope burn?
This is when the woman wants to do it. The man could be the cowboy, and she can be the Indian. An Indian squaw.
That's wonderful for them.
All right, be an Indian squaw that he takes.
Wait a minute.
I like my hands. I like my arms and my wrists. I don't want somebody...
No, I mean the rope burn on your rear end is wonderful.
Did you have a wild sex last night? Oh,
Eileen, if your husband came at you in a werewolf mask, what if your husband came at you in a werewolf mask with a kitchen knife? This is what we're talking about.
I would call the cops.
All right, Eileen.
Thanks
for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Women like aggressive sex occasionally, and they're too afraid to ask for it. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Dean Wheeler and his wife operating resparking the marriage. Women like aggressive sex occasionally, and they're afraid to ask for it. There's a lawsuit that was filed against your organization, isn't there?
You know something, Phil? That was something I told your producer I didn't want to speak about because it is...
No, I just want to ask you, the accusation in the suit is that you held a scalpel to a woman's throat?
That is so unfair of you.
Well, I want you to tell me what the
what happened was this. This was a couple, Gene and Dick Burton, and they had come to our workshop, and I wanted to step in and to show Dick what we're talking about because he was very reticent to get involved, and she was very willing to have this aggressive encounter. And so I broke into their room one night, which is part of the exercise and language of our seminar. And I was dressed at that time. My role playing was an escaped lunatic from an insane asylum. I had a half of a hospital gown on, and yes, I had a scalpel.
And you took her sexually?
If you call it rape.
Well, that's what she's claiming it was.
Excuse me, what is she doing at my workshop if she doesn't like it good and hard?
You're dressed as an escaped lunatic. You've got a scalpel. She said you held it to one of her eyes?
Yes, that's what part of the role playing is.
And you tied her arms with a stethoscope.
That's what part of the role-playing is, and I resent violently you bringing this up without the context of my attorney.
All right, I'm sorry for that, sir. I
just think it's so wrong.
But you're not denying any of these things.
In the context of our workshop, no.
All right, here's Sandy. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi, Phil.
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
Dean, I gotta tell you, man, you don't have a clue. You know, you the basics between aggressive and assertive, and you don't have a clue. You think you're speaking for women?
Sandy, I will not be intimidated by a lesbian. I will not be intimidated by the lesbian cadre within the women.
Lesbian.
That's
right. You know what? You're queer. That's what the problem is.
Are you gay?
Are you gay?
No, I am all woman.
Okay, then you know that. Oh, really? Okay. All right. That was a slap to all the lesbians out there, Phil. I just want...
Well, you're the guy that's been saying the lesbian cadre that runs the National Organization of Women doesn't want your workshop.
No, they do not. But I will say this. Women like it rough, some of them. Sandy, if you're too afraid to admit that side of you, that's your problem, not mine.
You are dirty. You are nothing but
listen
dirty.
To you. I bet you'd like a dirty boy.
And I think you suffer from, you know, having
like,
a lack of a penis.
I bet you'd like it from a dirty guy, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Oh, God.
He said,
Mr. Henry, don't pander to these women. They don't want some gay ass.
I can't believe that people would pay to attend a workshop. Like, you should be
I can
paying
tell,
them.
I can tell that you'd love it. I can tell
love
by the
it.
Sound of your voice.
You
love
make
it.
Me sick.
All right, specifically,
and I'm sitting
Sandy.
Right with my husband,
Sandy,
and you make him sick.
Sandy, specifically.
Well, you know what? You're both in denial.
All right, hold on for a minute.
Denial.
Hold on for a minute. Specifically, what is it of what he said that you take issue with? Do you deny that some women want aggressive sex, or is it that he goes too far?
No,
what
assertive.
Is it?
Big difference between aggressive and assertive.
All right, well, I'd like to be assertive,
and I like it when my husband's
all right.
assertive.
Assertive
but aggressive,
is, no.
He's just dirty. He's
no.
putting a dirty slant
all right, I would
on
ask,
all of it.
I would ask you, Dean, what would you call assertive?
Well, I agree. Assertive is taking the back of your hand and slapping her across the face before you engage in sex. This is fun for couples. And listening to her, I would love to tie her up and have a lit cigarette.
Well, what are we talking about? Torture?
No, but in her case.
All right, Sandy, thanks very much. 1-800-449...
That woman was a classic evil border guard using the peasant woman's baguette to pleasure her. That we would do that. So
you would role play with her as a...
I'd be the border guard, and she'd be the peasant woman trying to flee the oppression of a dictatorship. And I would force her to have sex with me so that she could gain her freedom. And she'd love it. And that husband she's with right now, why don't you just go off and get yourself a cup of coffee, pal? It'll be a couple hours.
Oh, man. You want guys to get pissed at you, don't you? You want...
No, but in that case...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Women wanting aggressive sex. You are quoted here as saying that you don't feel that you are having a successful weekend unless you hear someone being slapped?
No, no. What I said was, a few Saturdays ago, I was sitting with my wife, and we are having our workshop. And this would be something that would be understandably, if you're doing the kind of work, this might frighten you. But in the context of our weekend, the sound of someone being slapped, the sound of a woman crying, glass breaking, the smell of burned hair. These are all good sounds when you're in the line of work that I'm in. And these are the ones we like at our workshop.
So you're on our show today to challenge women.
Yeah, Phil, I'm on your show today to tell women to quit pretending they don't like it rough. I have a friend of mine telling me his girlfriend likes for him to pretend he's a pizza delivery man, and he will take her in front of her kids if she wants, right there on the porch.
Well, that's got to be insane. That's against the law. That's against the law. That's what I find...
Mr. Henry...
No, that's what I find wrong with your work. Take her right in front of her kids. Here is Solange. Hello?
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
I think you're totally right. I actually think that women have been taught through
Thank
society
you.
And everything to be, you know, this sweet little thing.
Thank you.
Style, and,
exactly.
They're just afraid to break, you know, the pattern of society, and I really believe, you know, probably this generation or next, I'm 26 years old, maybe this one or next,
no.
we're on a different mentality. We don't really care what other people are going to think or
yeah.
are going to say.
There you go.
Therefore, we're not afraid to say, you know what, I do like it rough.
You go, girl.
I would much rather have a rough guy than a wimpy husband
there you go.
Who would make sex a pattern of every night. Oh, go this way,
and
the next thing
Solange?
Is go this way,
yeah.
and
yeah.
You know, this is how you like it. And no,
right.
it has to be creative.
Right.
It has to be different every time.
I want to jump in, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
This young lady is saying exactly what needs to be said. These husbands out there, and you heard that lady last half hour, my husband's here and we're holding hands. I mean, what a
oh,
gay blade.
Okay.
And,
well, come on, holding hands isn't gay.
Well, it's just, but I would
love
I have
one more thing to say.
Solange, you're 26, dear?
Yeah.
You know what would be fun? You know what would be fun is rope, do you like rope burn?
Not really, but I remember when I had it, the next day I was giggling about it,
yeah,
and daydreaming, like, ha, 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 I think that.
Go ahead, Solange. You wanted to make another point?
Yeah, you were saying that you blame women for divorce. And I totally agree with you, because actually, if women were more outspoken, they would let their husband know what it is that keeps them happy. And if a husband is able to keep a woman happy throughout, you know, anything that they want, a woman pretty much would put up with anything as long as they're happy. So,
and what Solange is saying there, Phil, as long as a man can take care of his wife, his woman in bed, everything's going to be great. And
yeah.
I can tell you this, Solange, if you were married to me, I'd play a little game with you. You would be, I'd be the third world Chilean policeman who may be beating a confession out of you unless you give it to me good. And
oh, Jesus. Come on, you guys.
Come on, you gay. Come on, you gay.
What a gay bastard you are.
And you call me that one more time.
What do you think about that, Solange? Would you like to do that?
Perhaps.
I'd play...
I'm sure I'll be at the first moment a little bit shocked, but I swear I know the next day I'll be ha-ha-ha.
You'll love it. And what
I would
we'll
have
do
loved
is,
it, definitely.
You know, and here's something that a lot of people should try. While you and I are role-playing, your husband is there, and we're giving him a little shock from a car battery, just the same way they do in South America. So that,
okay, come on. Now, guys, this is now B&D, isn't it, man? This isn't aggressive. This is
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, that would be like more violence.
I'm a taxi driver, and you can play with my fuzzy dice. You know what I mean?
All right.
You know what I'm saying, don't you, honey?
Yeah, I think this guy is just, you know, just typical, I would say, mold by society and
closed-minded
to open things, you know?
Well,
most women are afraid and, you know, it happens. It's
wife,
not your fault.
My wife wants me to manhandle her with dirty garden gloves, and then I like to pin her arms to the bed and just unzip my pants and grab her hair, you know, and just do something.
I haven't done it, but I'll give it a shot.
You
Why
try
not?
That. Here's two things I want you to try, okay? You're the escaping civilian, and your husband is the border guard in a third world country, and he'll beat the confession out of you unless. Or another one that's fun is your husband is a gardener who came in to get a drink of water, and the next thing you know, he's got you out back in the mud, okay?
No.
All right, Solange. All right, and you write
okay,
me. My name's Dean Wheeler, in care of Mill Valley, California. Okay.
Thanks for speaking the truth.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Okay. See, she understands, Phil.
Thank you for speaking the truth.
Well, she gets it, and she's going to go home tonight and try all of that. Man, where'd she say she was from?
Chile.
And I bet you make a man's hands sweat with it.
All right, pal.
You just feel bad because nobody agrees with you.
Well, you know what? You know the guy that's sounding wimpy and gay to me is you, not me.
Oh, you were the guy the minute ago. That's terrible. That's terrible. Oh, oh.
Okay.
Help! Help! My wife wants me to have sex with her.
All right.
Please help! What a fag.
1-800-449-8686. I didn't mean to sound... We're talking with Dean Wheeler. The workshop they have is called Sparking Your Marriage, How to Get Women to Finally Come Clean and Admit That They Like It a Little Rough, a Little Aggressive, and how you can pull that out of your wife. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, and the goal is not to pull anything out of your wife. The goal is...
I understand what the goal is. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler is with us. You're talking about women who may not be in the mood for aggressive sex, but the husband knows that that's ultimately what she wants.
That is correct, Phil. And we recommend they purchase an album of music that we have that gets women in the mood. It is a kind of music that is attuned by Dr. Bill Fleming at the University of Miami and William Jung, who is also at the University of Miami. And this music can get a woman completely in the mood for being pinned to the floor by a man dressed as a hobo or a bag boy from a supermarket.
All right, do you have the music?
Yes, I do. Here it is. And you can put this on, and you come stalking into the bedroom wearing a gas station attendant costume, and there's grease under your fingers. And the woman, you can see she's just writhing on the bed. She's reading a book, maybe it's some Harlequin romance, and suddenly here's this stud, and he approaches. And you can guess the rest.
All right, 1-800, do I have to hear?
I'd just like to if I could, Phil, whoever you talk to, whatever woman.
All right, let me go over to Barbara. Barbara's hanging on. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi, go
Phil.
Ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I just caught your show maybe about 20 minutes ago, so I'm not sure what his philosophies are, but from what I'm hearing, I'm quite disgusted, actually, to think that he thinks that being pinned to the ground or backhanded is a turn on for most women, or that somebody would be swayed into thinking that might be, you know.
Well,
okay.
I what I'm saying, I think, Barbara, is that most women harbor a fantasy about being aggressively taken by someone wearing a service uniform. And
what do you mean a service uniform?
A man wearing the uniform of a bottled water truck driver, or you know, what I mean, right, Barbara?
No, I understand that, but you said something that disturbed me. I understand the difference between aggressive sex, but there was one point where you said, like, I have men that, you know, they'll come home to their wives and, you know, basically take them in front of their children. I mean,
that was incredible.
That's violent. Well, that comment really threw me for a loop, actually.
Well, not in front of the children, but you imagine the children are there. No, there's no real kids there. You just, you're saying, see, what a lot of women like to do is they're being taken and they go, no, Billy, Susie, get upstairs. I don't want you to see this. But there's no one there. No. But the children learn, I think that children will grow up in a healthier home when a woman can appreciate and finally admit that she enjoys it from a crack addict. And
what do you mean enjoys it from a crack addict? The husband's dressing.
The husband's dressing. You see what I'm saying, Barbara? Listen to the host. Listen to the very gay echo of his voice. There's a very gay straight.
I don't think he's gay.
No, I think there's a very homosexual and very wimpy and very overly sensitive kind of tenor and timbre to his voice. Barbara, wouldn't you want your husband to dress like a college professor so he could so you can play with a pointer, as we like to say? Of course. And so listen to this. What does that music say to you?
Well, actually, that just says porn to me.
Porn? I don't understand.
It does.
That's what it is.
I conjures up images of Ron Jeremy, which is actually not a turn-on for me.
I mean, let me ask you, what do you mean Dr. Fleming at the University of Miami created this?
Yes.
This is, you could go to any freaking porn movie.
This is very specifically, neither one of you know what you're talking about. This is very specifically created music to inspire a woman to want to be have a knife held to her throat while she's, taking it from the...
All right, okay, I get
okay,
it,
Okay, well, but see, to me, I know, I understand that. I can't understand how you're trying to say that any woman seems to be convinced of this, to
Barbara,
role-play with
allow,
that kind of...
allow yourself to go ahead and allow your fantasies to go to come true. Allow that fantasy of your husband in a welder's outfit with a torch gun sizzling your hair.
But
allow
that's
your... You know? And,
but that's...
What? What about dressing? How about dressing?
Images of violence.
No. What if your husband? What if your husband dressed up like a nasty street pimp, and he said he was going to slap you silly and shove a five spot in your mouth when he finished? I mean, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
No, actually, I find it pretty degrading, to be honest.
Well, it's not really. Barbara, it's what you want. Listen.
No,
I'm sorry.
It's not what I want.
Barbara, allow the music. Allow the music to take you. Listen to where it's taking you. Where's it taking you? That's right, to the garage floor. Isn't it?
No.
It's not?
I mean, I can understand that maybe some people might want it.
You're not face down in an oil stain? I don't. Gwen, come here. Barbara, listen to Gwen.
Oh!
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, I heard that. It sounded like one of your buddies.
You calling me a fag?
No, I'm not.
Am I calling you?
Am I calling you
a fag?
Look at all No, I'm asking Mr. Henry. Come here, Gwen. This is what I do with Gwen.
You my hole.
See, she loves that. And then I... Next thing you know, our fourth born.
I'm not saying that I want a wimpy man in bed, but I certainly...
Ah, see, now you're...
You my hoe. Come on, baby, give me some sugar.
Yeah, now like that would make me laugh and it would ruin the mood.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll think of something for you, Barbara. But in the meantime,
right.
I want you to get ready to... You know, imagine rope burn across one of the cheeks of your ass.
All right, that's enough.
No,
that is
I don't think so.
Sorry, Barbara. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Oh, okay. That makes me...
Well, you know, you're just Jesus. Oh, I have to get off the phone. I have vapors.
I'm just trying to say it's nasty.
It's nasty. This is the Phil Henry Show. I'll be back. I'm so shocked, though. I have to go to the bathroom.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.